Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS, but right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we both love since the first day we laid eyes on her, the queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello, hello. I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Hey, I'm dying to tell you. I'm so happy that you're here. It absolutely means the world that you are stopping by to tune in to this podcast. You know, I often get asked, what keeps you going doing the podcast? And it's really simple. Every single guest that I get to meet and talk to here gives me something that I feel like I would have totally missed out on if I didn't have that one conversation with them. And not only my guest, but all of you, whether I get to connect with you on social media or in person, it is truly a blessing to be connected in this amazing community. So thank you so, so much for being here. My guest today is no exception, and I bet a lot of you already know her. And you might not even realize it because her and her husband were on The Ellen Show. Not once, not twice, but I think three times because why we were falling in love with them, so was Ellen. And that was really cool to see. I am talking about young Amanda and Eric Stevens of California. Eric was diagnosed with ALS at 29, exactly 1 month after their wedding. He is a former NFL player and a firefighter in the LA area. And Amanda is all things. And she is a wife, a mother, a caregiver, a fierce ALS advocate, and the founder of their nonprofit called ACTS ALS Foundation. I don't know how she's doing it all, and I think I'm just going to ask her. I am so happy and grateful that I'm able to catch up with Amanda Stevens. I am anxious to see how Eric's doing and just catching up on their little family and life itself. So let's go to our chat. Yeah, we were going to record earlier this month and everything was happening with the neuron AdCom hearing, and I tuned in for that. So first of all, thank you for getting on there and giving your testimony. And also, I know that you are frustrated and angry about the committee's decision not to recommend that the FDA approve Neuron. So how have you been after that?
That was rough. I feel like We knew that that could happen. I mean, given the FDA's already, you know, statements that they've made, and we knew it was going to be a tough battle. But Yeah, I mean, seeing the committee vote 17 no's was extremely just defeating. It was, like you said, we stood there and gave Eric's testimony on what this drug has done for him, what it's given us. And, the committee members responding with, "We're giving false hope." And I don't know, that was just really like hurtful and heartless. I mean, we're not doing this for any other reason other than to get Eric more of the drug that has gotten him to where we are today. And that's it. I mean, we're not trying to give any false hope, but we're just trying to tell the committee what this drug has done for us. And so that was like pretty frustrating. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I know hopefully there's going to be a plan that we can rally behind one another and try to push this drug through. I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty defeating and discouraging.
And everyone on there is being very vulnerable with a very difficult subject. Like you said, everyone's just trying to explain the benefits that they personally have felt from the therapy. And that's it,
Exactly.
So,
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, I mean, we weren't the only ones that obviously said how it's helped Derek. There was a lot of testimonies, and even people like Matt Bellina, who didn't get to speak, when he's, had the most doses out of anybody, and look what it Neuron did for him. And so we were just trying to share our experience. We're not trying to give any false hope whatsoever. I mean, Eric would do anything to get more of that drug, and I think he should be able to that, but
As anyone.
we'll see.
And to my listeners, so we're talking about Neuron, which is a stem cell therapy that has been proven by some people living with ALS that it has benefits to slow down the disease. And so there recently was a meeting with experts and patients that would lead to a recommendation to the FDA, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, well, thank you for sharing more on that. And so, all right, I want to go back. A lot of listeners might remember you and Eric from the Ellen Show. What year was that?
Yeah, the first time was 2019. It was about this time of year, I think November, 2019. So shortly after he was diagnosed. Yeah, feels like forever ago.
You want to share a little bit about like how that even came to be? Because I know Ellen has really loved on you guys, but how did that even come out about?
Yeah, I mean, I think after we kind of came forward with Eric's diagnosis. He was an LA City firefighter. He played in the NFL, had a short stint with the St. Louis Rams. And so I think just kind of given his platform with football and firefighting, when his diagnosis came out and the fact that he was diagnosed at such a young age, he was 29, it kind of like sparked this, fire in the community of what people could do to help. And I think our story got to her a couple different ways. I think her producers found us, and then one of Eric's firefighter, one of their wives was a PR representative, and I think she reached out to Ellen. One of my friends works with Ellen's wife, Portia, and so, I think our story kind of got to her a lot of different ways. I know my mom was writing into Ellen too, because our biggest goal is just like to, let people know more about ALS. We didn't really know much about it when Eric was diagnosed. And so, and the fact that he was diagnosed so young. And so I think our biggest goal in the beginning was just getting the disease out there, getting Eric's story out there. And we weren't looking for anything other than that. It was just raising awareness for the disease. And then, yeah, like you said, Ellen loves firefighters. And I think she just felt for us being a young couple going through this unimaginable situation.
Yeah.
And so she had us, I think she had us on three times. I think three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was, I mean, amazing. The fact that she, you know, the first episode she said, like, I'm your biggest advocate now, like, I'll do whatever I can. And that was just really, you know, wonderful to hear that she was in our corner and going to try to help us. And I know, like, the second or third episode, we talked a lot about the Act for ALS and help getting that passed. And it also, you know, got our social media a lot of followers. So whenever there was a petition or to contact your congressman or anything, you know, I felt like we got kind of a lot of people behind us in doing that. So yeah, we're extremely grateful for everything she did for us and for the community, really.
And then I know that you went on to announce that you were pregnant. And
yes.
And so you have a daughter, Peyton. And is her middle name Ellen? No.
No. I know. They have a close birthday, but no. Aww. Her middle name's James, because Eric's middle name is James. So
we wanted I love her that. To
have that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Aw. So how is Eric doing now? So it's been about over 4 years that he was diagnosed when he was 29. So
yeah. Like you said, we're over 4 years. And to be honest, in the beginning, we thought he was a fast progressor. I mean, in just a short couple of months, he was losing a lot of points on the ALS-FRSR, which is a scale that measures basically your decline with the disease.
Yeah.
And it seemed as though he was like losing a lot of points quickly. And obviously, that was extremely scary because, you know, they just don't know a lot about this disease. They don't know why you get it. They don't know how much time you have. There's a 2 to 5 year, you know, window they give you, but you don't know where you could fall in that. Or obviously you could live way longer than that as well. And so we didn't know how much time he had. He was quickly enrolled in the Neurone trial. And then following that, he was in the Neurone Expanded Access Program. And that's the drug we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it helped him immensely. I mean, today, Eric can still walk. I do hold his hands when he's walking, and it's mostly in the house that he walks around, just because we don't want him to fall. Right. He's still eating softer foods. It kind of depends on the time of day. Morning seems to be best. He's well rested. He can eat a little bit better. He does have a feeding tube that we got in May. That was a tough decision just because he is still able to eat by mouth. But you know, looking back, I think it was the best decision. We can give him extra nutrients so he doesn't lose weight. We can hydrate him. It was a tough procedure, and the aftermath of it was very tough. But yeah, looking back, we're glad we did that. Eric does have a power wheelchair, like just a portable one that we use in the backyard, or we can just fold it up, put it in the car, take it to doctor's appointments or the park or, you know, wherever. So that's been kind of a way to like give him extra freedom and a little bit of independence. Like right now he's in the backyard in his wheelchair and I don't really have to worry about him falling or So that's been good. He's still speaking very well. He doesn't ever really have to repeat himself, which is, you know, a huge blessing because slurred speech was one of his first symptoms. And so obviously we banked his voice, we did everything, but, you know, the fact that he can still read, sing, talk to our daughter, have conversations with her, teach her things, you know, with his words is so important. And just like I said, we're so blessed that he still has a strong voice. But in terms of like what he's lost, his hands, his arms, his, you know, he basically needs help with everything. He needs help getting in and out of bed, getting dressed, undressed, showering. He needs help eating. I have to help feed him with a fork and spoon. Basically needs assistance with everything. Although he is still able to use his phone, which I'm extremely thankful for. He can text his friends, he can scroll, he can, you know, do whatever on his phone. And then Yeah, so I mean, he's lost a lot. He really has, just compared to obviously what,
Normal.
he
Yeah.
normal, what he, was before.
Yeah.
But I guess with this disease, you just have to try to be very thankful for the little things and, the fact that he can still do what he can still do, we're really grateful for. And I guess, yeah, we just try to focus on the positives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you caught my attention when you mentioned that he had a hard time getting the feeding tube, because I got mine. I think it's been, I've had ALS for 19 years. I think I got my feeding tube, I don't know, like 7 years ago, because my breathing capacity had dropped so low that they got really nervous about having to do surgery later. So they put it in, even though I'm still able to eat all foods. And that was really hard, and I think that because it's so invasive, putting a hole there and putting a tube that's going to be permanently there, and a constant reminder when you look down and you see that tube, it does weigh a lot on you. And so for now, like I'm trying to think of it as a blessing in that if I do need it, it's there. And then I use it to get a lot of extra hydration. So, putting water in it. So I'm really trying to think of it as a plus. But man, when I got mine, well, first of all, the recovery was a little harder than they made it sound. Oh, no big
Right,
deal, da
I
da da.
know.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
I
And
know.
then just mentally, it's like that first thing that you have that is physically invasive to your body, and it can be a lot. But overall, it sounds like Eric is doing well in the scheme of having ALS that typically is so fast.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly it. I think 4 years in, he's doing well, all things considered.
Well, I am just really have been in awe of the both of you for sharing your heart and your story from the beginning. I know that's not always easy to do. And number one, caregiving for someone, whether it's ALS or not, I know personally is a lot. And you're a young mom. Your daughter is
2.5.
2.5, and you're a full-time caregiver. And oh, by the way, you have a nonprofit called ACTS ALS that you are running as well. So I really appreciate all that you're trying to and are tackling right now. How are you doing all of that?
I mean, we have a lot of help. We're so thankful.
Good.
We live in the town where Eric grew up, and so his brother just bought a house up the street from us. His mom and dad, yeah, his mom and dad live 5 minutes away. His mom comes over. I mean, they both, his mom and dad both come over almost every day. It's like a revolving door in our house. I mean, and then Eric has a huge family. So, one brother lives up the street, the other brother lives, up the other street, and then he has aunts and uncles and cousins all close by. Our neighborhood is like full of firemen, policemen, just a lot of first responders, and then all of our friends are close, and so we have a lot of help. I mean, Peyton goes to school now 3 days a week, and so that gives me a little bit more time to do things for the foundation. And honestly, I mean, caregiving is extremely, it's a lot of work, but Eric is like the easiest patient ever. I mean, I know he tries to make it as easy as possible for me, because he knows I'm juggling a lot, and so I do have to help him with everything, but he doesn't require a lot of work. And I don't want to say yet because I don't want it to ever get there. But
yeah.
As of right now, you know, I help him do things, but he's very easy compared to our daughter. I mean, she is all over the place. But yeah, I mean, his mom will watch our daughter. His mom can also stay with Eric because she is able to help him with everything as well. We have a lot of help. And then with the foundation, the board on our foundation is extremely wonderful. They help with a lot of things as well. So I am, you know, running it, but the board does a lot of the work with me. And so we're thankful for them to help run this foundation and do what, you know, we want to do with it. So yeah, I would just say, and I think that was hard for me, but accepting the help, because the help was always there. You know, people were always offering to help, but I think I am the type of person that I want to be able to do everything on my own, which at some point I needed to say, okay, like, I'll let you. Oh, we have someone who comes and walks our dog. I mean, just little things like that, that like takes it off of me, you know, off my shoulders, so I can just not have to worry about it. So
yeah,
we're very, very thankful for the help because we couldn't do it without everybody. Yeah.
You know, right now, looking at you and hearing you, I can't help to think that a lot of people who aren't in front of you right now, but know your situation, might think that your life is dark, that it is not good. And seeing you, and like, I just envision Eric in the backyard, you know, in his wheelchair, and I can feel, and I can even just understand like his joy and his appreciation for being able to be independent at that level. And I feel like you really do feel joy and peace and love in your situation right now that some people might think, man, I don't even know how, you know.
So that's I think obviously this is like not where I thought we would a situation we would ever be in, but I guess you just have to roll with the punches and figure out how to get through it. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do, is, you know, take it one day at a time and enjoy every moment we have together with our daughter, with, you know, our family, our friends, everyone. And just Eric's favorite thing is just being in the backyard. Like right now in California, it is beautiful weather. Like, we didn't have this all summer, and now it's like 80 degrees. He's like, our backyard is pretty like tropical back there, so he just loves being outside, and he's getting a lot of vitamin D,
which is good.
Yes.
So tell me about the moment that you decided to start your nonprofit called Axe ALS. Like, what motivated you to do that in the beginning of all the madness?
I know. I think the biggest thing was, there's kind of two things. So first, I remember the day Eric got diagnosed, you know, all of his friends came over, or I'm sorry, the next day, because the day he got diagnosed, he told all of his best friends. They came over the next day. We went to the beach. And I remember Eric was talking to them, and the first thing he said was, you know, what about all those people that get diagnosed that don't have what I have, you know, that don't have the friends, don't have the family, don't have like the love and the support that I know that I have. And that just like stuck with us, because, you know, here he is getting a death sentence basically, and he's thinking about other people. And it's like, so I think right then was like, okay, this is obviously a lot bigger than Eric. And then once we, you know, joined all the Facebook groups, started meeting other ALS patients, you know, it's like this unspoken bond that we all have. We all know what each other is going through. And so that was kind of the first thing, is how can we help others? The second part was this AXE-ALS. So AXE-ALS came from, fire stations would take pictures of an axe, like they would make a banner, an AXE-ALS banner, and hold it up and take pictures in front of their fire trucks, fire stations. And it basically like took off. It went viral, and I think Ellen saw that as well. And so, you know, she did an AXIALS picture with us, but that kind of like took off and we started realizing like, okay, like we do have this platform now where we can, and we want to make this way bigger than Eric. I mean, obviously we want to share that he's 29 and he has ALS, but also like, now that we have all of this support, what can we do to help other people? And one of the biggest things that we learned, especially with the Neuron trial, with the 50% placebo, with the fact that, you know, you can't access a drug if you want to. I mean, one of the biggest fights that we knew we were going to have to battle was patient access to treatment. I mean, we know what's going to happen with Eric if he doesn't take any therapies, any drugs. Mm-hmm. This disease is brutal. It's so aggressive. It's, you know, it's going to take his life very, very soon. And so that was our biggest goal, is how can we create better access to treatment for patients, you know, whether that's helping companies, whether that's creating expanded access programs. And so that was another thing that we wanted to do with the foundation, is just try to get better patient access to treatment. And so we kind of have three goals with our foundation. The first one is providing better access. So this year we actually partnered with Mass General and UC Irvine, and we gave them a $486,000 grant to do an expanded access program at UC Irvine. So it's like an extension of the Healy trial. And so that will give 10 patients a year for 3 years the ability to access a treatment. And so that was something that's really important to us. Obviously, moving forward, we want to look for more opportunities. And then another goal is to help other ALS families. Mm. You know, we have been very fortunate in the fact that the community has kind of rallied around us, helped us fundraise. And then being on the Ellen show, she gave us some funds. And so we've been very, very fortunate, you know, to have the house that we live in. It's all one story. It's perfect for Eric. You know, it's right by his family. And so we wanted to give other families, you know, opportunities to either make their house more accessible, or, you know, help them with buying a accessible vehicle, or just try to take that financial burden off of them a little bit. And so now we've been able to help 4 families. And we have another family coming up at our golf tournament in November, but just giving them a check to help with any ALS expenses that are weighing on them. And so that's been really important to us as well. And then lastly, contributing to research. Obviously, like I said, we don't know why Eric got this disease, why anybody got this disease, unless you have the genetic form.
Right.
And so we're really interested in looking into head trauma or exposure. You know, Eric was a firefighter. And so looking at research opportunities, maybe in those categories. And so that's kind of something that I'm doing right now, is I'm meeting with researchers at USC and other locations to try to figure out the best research study that we can fund next. So that kind of is all 3 of our goals, and we've hit 2 of them so far. So the research part is the one we're working on now, of trying to get some answers. You know, it's one thing that, it's one thing you're told you have ALS, and then you sit there wondering why, how did I get this? Why did I get this? And so we can help answer that in any way. That would be, I know Eric, that's one of Eric's goals.
So how can my listeners support AXIALS? You know, what can we do?
Yeah, we hold golf tournaments throughout the year. They are usually in California, so I don't know if any listeners are in California, but we hold one in Northern California, a couple down in Southern California. We did hold one in Georgia last year, and hoping this year there's not one in Georgia, but hoping next year we'll be able to do the Georgia one again. And then looking to expand to other states as well. Eric's brother lives in Tennessee, so maybe doing one out there soon. But we are always looking for people to participate in our golf tournaments, whether that's through playing in the golf tournament, sponsoring, contributing to live auction. And then, of course, donations. I mean, our website is axals.org, and any donation is so greatly appreciated. No donation is too small. Yeah. And then just sharing our foundation with others. I think our main goal, and I think we can say this because Eric has ALS, I am his wife, our main goal is helping patients that are alive today. I want to keep my husband alive for as long as I can, for my daughter, for me, for him, and so I'm going to try everything in my power to do that. And we want to focus on the patients alive today and how we can help them.
Yeah.
Just sharing our foundation with others too is very helpful.
Yeah. And to my listeners, I will put a link in the show notes to a foundation, axals.org. So you can find it there. So in talking to you, I just can't help think of a couple other friends and guests that I've had on. So do you connect with Jen Hopkins?
I've spoken to her before, we don't connect regularly, I have spoken to her.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, like, you know, what they're doing with Hop on a Cure is focusing on research and trying to use their platform, of course, John Driscoll Hopkins and the Zach Brown Man, to raise awareness and funds and support research efforts that are already there and already promising.
I'm actually wearing a Zac Brown Band
shirt
right now.
Oh my gosh, you definitely are.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, you guys should connect. And then also yesterday I talked to Karen and Tony Vick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people know her as the caregiver, another young couple. And she's really out there on social media sharing her journey of taking care of her husband with ALS. So, yeah, I see you all out there all over the country. And hopefully you all are using your resources and coming together to support each other. Because, you know, like I said, it's not easy. So,
yeah, I've talked to Karen a few times. Like you said, what they share on social media is so great for other people to see. I mean, I think with this disease, you often are private. I know Eric lets me share a little bit, but he is a very private person as well. And so, yeah, the fact that they're being so vulnerable and willing to share the really hard parts is, you know, really, you know, something I thank them for. And also, Karen has a really cute boutique that I've bought a few things from. So.
I know, same.
Yeah.
That's so funny because one of the tabs open up on my laptop right now that I'm looking at is MKG Clothing. Because they have that little victory crop sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to order, so.
She is cute stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've talked about the joy and the love that's in your life right now. But over the past 4 years, what blessings have you been able to witness besides your beautiful daughter?
I know. I think our daughter takes the cake on that one.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, that was a hard decision to, not a hard decision, but just one that we obviously, you know, when you marry somebody, you, and we didn't know Eric had ALS before we got married. When you marry someone and you picture this whole future with them and you want, obviously you think of a family and everything. And that was like something I was the most excited for. And so when he got diagnosed, that obviously raised a lot of questions. If we could even have a daughter or have a baby, and how would we do it? And so obviously she is the biggest blessing. She, we sometimes say, like, what did we do before her? Because she just brings so much joy. Yeah. And, like, she keeps us happy. She keeps us active. Sometimes, I mean, she doesn't make us forget about the disease, but she, you know, puts it second and helps us really appreciate the things that are important. Mm. I would say another blessing is just seeing how this community, our family and friends, have really rallied around Eric. I think it just goes to show the type of person that he is and how this community wants to help. And I mean, that's, you know, close family and friends all the way to strangers, people we've never even met, just wanting to support him. And then honestly, another blessing is, you know, through the foundation, being able to help other families. Like I said, that was something that was really important to Eric. And I think with him being a firefighter, I was a teacher, you know, it's kind of like in our bones to want to give back to others. And that's kind of like just instilled in us. And so the fact that we're able to do that is really important. We know how much families can struggle with this disease, not just financially, but in so many other ways. And the, you know, being able to help a little bit with funds is something that is a huge blessing. And I know, like, looking back on all of this, we'll be thankful that we were able to do that. I also think a lot of the people we've met through this disease, I mean, if Eric didn't get ALS, you know, we wouldn't have met a lot of people that we consider really close friends, or like I said before, that unspoken bond that you, like, I don't know you very well, but I feel like I do because I know what you're going through a little bit. I mean, I always say, like, I don't know fully what Eric is going through because only he knows that, but I have a very good idea. And I think just there's been so many people that we've met through this disease that we wouldn't have met otherwise. And so that's kind of a silver lining in this. But yeah, those are ones I can think of. I mean, it's been the worst 4 years of our life, but also, you know, in a way the best. So.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that Eric found out about his ALS diagnosis, like, a month or two after you got married? Like, really, really quickly after, right?
It was really quickly. It was about a month after. Yeah, so he had been having symptoms, I mean, looking back, since like March of 2019. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't really tell me about them. I mean, he'd say things every now and then, like, my left hand is, like, not feeling right. Or he would surf a lot with his brothers, and he would say, like, I'm not standing up on the surfboard. Like, I can't get up, which, you know, we didn't think anything of it at the time. And then we got married in July of 2019. And then he was diagnosed August 2019. So yeah, 1 month after, you know, and in our situation, he was diagnosed pretty quickly. I feel like a lot of times it takes you know, months, years for patients to get diagnosed. And so I guess that's another blessing, is the fact that we did find out so quickly, and he was able to fight right away. So,
right. Do you have any insights or tips to share with another young couple, or I guess it doesn't even have to be a young couple, that has something really tragic happen in their lives that could easily affect their relationship? A strain on the relationship, whether it has to do directly with the relationship or not. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think with Eric and I mean, obviously we have our extremely hard days. You know, we argue, we yell at each other. You know,
that's what you call the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Get over here and get your son.
Yeah, I know, seriously. You know, so it's not always going to be easy, but I think just remembering that right now, Eric is still here with me, and I need to cherish that and just be so grateful for that, for the time that we have together. Because, I mean, to be honest, nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. And so I think the way we've tried to look at our situation is, let's focus on right now, and let's not let ALS stop us from doing what we want to do right now, whether that's having a family, whether that's not having a family, whether that's traveling, whether that's, you know, just being homebodies like we are and hanging out at home. I mean, I think Eric always says everyone's fighting their own battle, whether that be a disease, whether that be addiction, or, you know, a traumatic event or whatever. Everyone kind of has their own battle that they're fighting, and just trying to focus on today and just being grateful for today and what we have today. And, you know, that's not always easy, and it's so simple to say, like, you know, don't take life for granted. But
yeah,
this has definitely taught us that, like, we can't, because this disease could turn quickly, and, you know, and then the worst would happen. But we just need to try to cherish what we have today and be thankful for that.
You put something in my brain. It's like, you don't want to look back and say that you have any regrets within that time period. And I'm looking right over here. You can't see it, but I have this whole wall is full of photos of friends that I've lost to ALS. And the very first one is a guy named Andrew Gleason. And you wouldn't know him because he passed away in 2011. And he was an older guy. And I met him in Miami, Florida at an event. And he traveled by himself, and I was really impressed because he was in a chair. But I remember that he came up to me and he said, never look back and say, if only, whatever. If only I would have done this. If only we would have done this. And every time I look at that, I remember that. And when you were talking about that, that's what reminded me of, like, just, whatever you do, don't put yourself in a position to say, I regret, or if only. Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, then if you're great. Doing that, you're living what everyone says is your best life. Right? So,
right.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm really happy that you have that awareness and you have that in your heart. So
I don't know if I would have, you know, without this. Without this disease, you know, so that's something that it has taught us. I mean, it really opened our eyes to a lot of things.
Yeah. And that was my next question. I was going to ask you, ALS has opened my eyes. I think you've already answered it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
it has opened our eyes to a lot. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's taught us a lot.
As a caregiver, as a young caregiver, what, if anything, has come up on your radar that you totally were not expecting, good or bad?
That's a good question. I feel like the hardest part in our situation, you know, with ALS is knowing that I can't fix him. I think, like, I feel so helpless a lot of the time. You know, obviously I do help him with everything, but in terms of slowing this disease down or making it go away, I know I can't do that. And I don't know, I feel like, you know, when my grandma fell a few years ago, I helped caregive for her knowing that she was going to get better. And that, I think, has been really hard, is knowing that Eric's probably not going to get better. And I think that's, like, the hardest part about all of it, is I see the struggles every day, and knowing that I can't take the ALS away is the hardest part.
Yeah, you can't fix it.
Yeah.
Can't stop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to get a tissue?
Sorry. I don't know if I have one.
your Zac Brown t-shirt is now becoming your tissue. Oh, bless your heart. I wish I could give you a hug. I know you cannot fix it, but know that you are literally doing everything you can to give it a shot, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Know that. Never, never doubt. Never doubt yourself. Yeah. You've been great, hon. I have one more question before I let you Go find Eric in the backyard or wherever he may be right now.
know.
So, Amanda, what are you dying to tell us?
I'm dying to tell you to just be so thankful for the time that you have with the ones you love. You know, last week, I don't know if you follow Kelsey and Chris Snow, but I follow her a lot during, you know, through her blog and her podcast as well. And she just said something so simple, like hug your people. And I think a lot of times we get caught, so caught up in life. I mean, all of the hardships that life brings us. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to bed together, you know, with our daughter who's healthy. And, you know, I still get to sleep next to Eric and wake up next to him. And I think it's just, it sounds so silly, but just really appreciate those little things and the fact that we do still have time together. And I just think we take it for granted. And like I said, ALS has really, really helped me learn just how important time is with the people that you really love and the people you want to spend your time with. Yeah.
Yeah. And normally you wouldn't notice that until you were older, you know, like my age, like 58, you know, when you start seeing your community age and get sick and your parents get really sick and pass away. And I mean, I think I've had like 3 people pass away this week. Yeah. And I like that Kelsey Snow had said, hug your people.
Yeah.
It kind of says it all, like put your focus on what's in front of you, what matters the most.
Yeah, hug them, like give them a kiss before bed. I mean, just those little things that you don't know how much longer you can do that with anybody. And so just
like do it before it's too late. And just like Andrew, please sit up here. Don't look back and say, if only.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Amanda, I'm sending you a big hug.
I know. I wish I could hug you too.
Thank you so very much for coming on and having this great chat. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really thankful that you are helping us continue Eric's story and you know, talk about the foundation. And
yeah,
it was wonderful chatting with you.
Yeah. Okay, good. I continue to be just blown away when I talk to others that are further along with their ALS and are leading efforts that are trying to make life better for other people that are living with ALS. Just as Amanda and Eric Stevens are doing with their foundation, ACTS ALS. Of course, I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes, and you can find the show notes on my Facebook page or the website, both at I'm Dying to Tell You podcast. If you like this episode and you want to help tell other people about it, one very effective way is to rate and review the episode on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so very much if you take a few minutes to do that. Okay, thank you again for being here. Until next time, know you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked the show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. Thank you.